Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Y'all look like a happy bunch. I'll have whatever you're drinking. Praise God. That's good stuff. Welcome back, Joe and Lee. Welcome back. Praise God. Amen. I want you to be in prayer probably more than usual this week for Sunday, if you would. I'm going to be, Lord willing, talking a lot about the enemy and probably exposing some of the things that he doesn't like to have exposed. So, you know, just want you to be in prayer cover for the church, for all of us, and be spiritually alert. So it goes right into my topic for tonight, spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. You know, one of the gifts of the Spirit is in 1 Corinthians 12 is the gift of being able to spiritually discern spirits, demonic spirits, a human spirit, and of course, the Spirit of God. And we all, as we're born again, we have spiritual discernment, but then there are people that have a special grace from God to be able to probably discern what the average Christian may not be able to discern in the spirit. And so we're going to look at some of that tonight. You know, when you talk about spiritual discernment, everybody thinks they have it. And a lot of people, I mean, you have discernment, but not everybody has the gift of spiritual discernment. A lot of people have what I call the gift of suspicion. And they think it's a gift of discernment. And but there's a definite gift that picks up on things that the natural senses cannot pick up on. You know, in Acts chapter 16, there's a fascinating scripture there where the Apostle Paul, and I think it was Silas who was with him, they were going through a town in Macedonia, which is modern-day Greece. And there was a lady who started following them around. She was a fortune teller. And she started following them around town, and she started saying, "These are holy men of God, listen to them. They're telling you the way of salvation." Now, she was a fortune teller. And you think, well, what's wrong with that? That's good advertisement. Well, it began to wear on the Apostle Paul. You know, it just wore on him. It tired him. He got weary of her and her stuff that she was going on. And finally, he got to the point that he got angry. Not at her, but at the devil. Very important. And turned around and he cast a spirit out of her. Spirit of divination, which if you look up the word for divination, it's the spirit of Python. It's like a Python snake. One of the tactics of the devil is to wear down the people of God. And we'll talk more about that Sunday, about different ways that the enemy may try to wear you down. And Paul had a spiritual gift of discernment. He looked at her and he saw beyond the natural. And he saw it was a demon spirit that was actually using this girl's voice to harass them and wear them down. And he rebuked it and cast it out. He put up with it for a while, but he finally got angry enough inside. And I believe he was a mature Christian, so he was led by the Spirit to do this. So the gift of discernment is something that is vital that the church needs to mature in and grow in. And God says, first of all, let's look at Isaiah 55, verse 8. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. As far as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So first of all, to discern to be the thoughts of God, you've got to have the Holy Spirit. Amen. You cannot discern the thoughts of God on your own. God, if God doesn't share a thought with us, we can't figure it out. Amen. If he doesn't share his way with us, we just can't figure it out. Romans 11:33 ought to make us just have a sense of awe about God. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. Unfathomable are his ways. I mean, there's just no way you're going to figure God out unless he imparts the revelation to you of what he's doing. Just look at creation. Creation is a fascinating subject. I mean, when you look at all the things, how creation operates. First of all, that of the billions and billions of planets and galaxies there are in the universe, that Earth is the only one that has the perfect temperature and the perfect climate, has enough air, has enough water for over 3 billion people to live on it. There's no other place out there for humans to be able to live. I know people get into that and they start saying, well, that's why I believe in UFOs and all this and that, you know, and I don't mean to get into all that, but are there such things as UFOs? Yeah, I think they're demons. That's my opinion. I believe they're demonic things that cause people to want to look into other avenues other than the Word of God. But I believe they're spirit beings that just come to make people want to look into other avenues other than and then the Word of God. But I believe that there are things that probably appeared as aliens and maybe unidentified flying objects and all that. But I believe that there are demon spirits just sent to distract you. Thank you for all that agreement. You know, the salmon goes all the way back. The salmon, the fish, goes all the way back to where, you know, it was birthed to be able to spawn. How does a little brain in a fish cause a creature to do that? How do birds know to migrate to certain parts of the country? How do butterflies fly all the way from Central America and South America all the way across the Gulf of Mexico and make it a little delicate creature like that? I'm telling you that creation should cause us to just be in awe of the Creator. Amen. Look at God. Look at what he does. His wisdom is unsearchable. Yes. And you think, well, why would God go to all the trouble to do this and do that and create all these planets and only have one place where... What's trouble to God? That's no trouble for God. So God uses things that confound us. We go, wow, I could never figure God out. I could never understand his thoughts or his ways unless he shares this with us. One of the things that he confounds the world with is the called the foolishness of preaching or the preaching of the cross. How could a man hanging on a cross save the world? Doesn't make any sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for to those who are perishing, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Even today, you try to share the gospel with people and they just kind of shake their heads. And you believe all that stuff, really? Yeah, I'm trying to tell you about it. And that they will look at you like you are a fool. How can a man hanging on a cross save the world? God says, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That's the wise. People, the wise of this world. Where is the wise? Has God made the wisdom of the world foolish? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God. The world denies God. The world's system is anti-Christ. It denies God. doesn't want anything. They want to eliminate everything to do with God in the school system and go to humanism. They want everything about God taken out of government. Any government documents, no monuments. And the world is antichrist because it doesn't know God. But yet it pleased God. Look how wise God is through the foolishness of preaching. And not foolish preaching, but sometimes it is foolish. But the foolishness of a person standing up and proclaiming. And look at some of us foolish preachers God uses. Wow. I wouldn't have picked me. What'd you say? It wasn't my choice. It wasn't my choice. But not just me, but I mean a lot of people. Look at the different kinds of preachers, men and women. And there are women preachers. One denomination is totally against women preachers. But the one I came out of was totally against women preachers. That's just crazy, isn't it? Your sons and daughters, Book of Acts says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. I guess I didn't read that. God chooses to save man from eternal death by hanging a man on a cross. How in the world can that work? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. God says, for observe your calling, brethren, among you, among us right here today. This is not a put down. There's not many wise men among you. According to the flesh. It's talking about men with, you know, worldly degrees of education and so forth. It's not saying you're not wise. I'm just saying that it's not that the worldly wise people don't come in here because they think what we're doing is just foolishness. There are not many mighty men, you know, strong in power, politics, the world, and things like that. Not many noblemen, the wealthy. That sometimes money gets in the way of people coming to know God. They say, I got money. I don't need God. What do I need God for? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty and the base things of the world, the things which are despised, so that no flesh can boast in God. To me, that's just beautiful. God is so brilliant. He is not going to let anybody with a degree or with a talent or eloquent words or whatever rise up and people say, well, look, the church is growing because of this person. No, it's going to be God. God builds his church. And sometimes through the most foolish looking people. The people you'd say, go ahead and laugh. It's true. It's true. I stand amazed at the wisdom of God. So now we look here, we see that no one, 1 Corinthians 2, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, talking to the body of Christ, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. The natural man is talking about the man who hasn't been born again. The man who hasn't been born again, he looks at the Bible and says, I read it, but I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's boring. I don't get anything out of it because it's spiritually discerned. Back to that other scripture I was talking to a moment ago, talking about that not many wise among you according to the flesh. You know, one of the reasons, my opinion here, this is my opinion, one of the reasons many believers have a hard time receiving the gift of praying in tongues is because it looks so foolish. It doesn't make sense to them. That's just me talking. That's just gibberish. Yet hidden in this mysterious gift called praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, God said is the wisdom of God. Mysteries of God are revealed through people speaking in tongues that they don't understand. Now that's about as weird as you can get. That's about as foolish looking as you can get. That makes no sense to anybody. And yet God says, this is how I do things. So this is why spiritual discernment is so, so vital, so important. And this is why back in 1 Corinthians 2, that we need to be spiritually discerning, by the Spirit of God in us, discerning. And that word discern is an interesting word. It's a Greek word, anakrino, which means to examine, question, we actually break it apart to investigate something. We're to discern people. Not everything that shines is gold. Not everyone who talks a good talk is a Christian. Amen. Even in the church. Amen. We need to discern by the Spirit. Have you ever been around somebody that talked a real good talk and just sat it, talked the Christianese that we learned to talk in church, and yet your spirit said something's just not right on the inside? You ever had that? And maybe the Spirit helped you discern they were not born again. Or maybe they were born again and they're just, you know, had something else going on. But we are to be able to discern that because God gives us His Spirit to be able to discern and examine, investigate things or certain matters. Not just in spiritual things like a person, are they born again, are they not born again? And usually that just takes some questioning of an individual and you find out whether or not they really have been born again or not. You you wouldn't be probably surprised. You folks wouldn't be surprised, but a number of people that I have meetings with, maybe counseling or maybe get premarital counseling and stuff, and they look like Christians, they talk like Christians, but when you get down to really asking them, was there ever a time in your life where you were born again in the Spirit? And many times they'll say, I don't know what you mean by that. And then you go and break it down and show it to them, and they'll honestly confess, no, I didn't know. So they were actually being deceived into thinking that they were saved. I talked to someone not long ago who said that they had a loved one that believed that they were right with God because of they're a good person. They're good. They live a good life. That's deception. Amen. That person needs, somebody's got to share the gospel. Somebody's got to be spiritually discerning enough to approach them and say, I've got to warn you of something. If you were wrong about something as serious as your eternal soul, would you want to know? And if they say no, then you're free. But if they say yes, then you need to tell them. We need to witness today. Amen. There's power in witnessing. God gives you power to witness. But you have to discern as you're witnessing to somebody. If you're talking to somebody, sometimes you discern as a religious spirit, but it's not born again. And the person's not evil. It's just they're not born again. They have a religious spirit, but they're not born of the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit will show you those things. That's spiritual discernment. But it's not always in spiritual matters. Sometimes spiritual discernment is in very practical things. For example, a man told me just yesterday, he said his air conditioning went out and the temperature started rising. He called the air conditioner place to come fix his air conditioner. And they said, well, it'll be several hours before somebody gets there. He says, and he's an elderly person, he said, it's already 80-something degrees in here. He says, I've got to have some help. And the guy said, that's the best we can do, probably about 10 o'clock at night before they get there. And this guy was sweating, and he's elderly, and he needed that air. And so he cried out to God. God, I need help. I can't wait till 10 o'clock. I can't breathe like this. I need air conditioning. And he said to me these words. He said it was like something went off in his head, like go over there and shut your system off. Leave it off for about 10 minutes and turn it back on. He went over and did that. Thing came on. I'm telling you, it's a practical matter. Did he hear God? Yeah. He got desperate enough to cry out to God. And God heard him. And he discerned that it was God. And I told him, I said, that was God. You heard God talking to you. He's concerned about what you're concerned about. He cares about what you care about. You ever had God help you find something you lost? Was that a coincidence? That's spiritual discernment. You picked up on a thought or whatever God had in your mind to go look over here, go look over there, and there you are. You, for what?
You were caught on the tarmac.
Uh-huh.
2 hours.
Oh, you were on the plane for 2 hours on the tarmac.
And they shut everything down. And they said, after 3 hours, you got to go back. And I said, Lord, we don't want to go back. It's too much hassle.
Yeah.
And all of that.
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, do something. And while I was asking it.
While you were asking.
The pilot came on and said, we got a clearance. Ah! Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
A clearance to take off.
Amen.
I said, you heard that? I said, while I was asking, God moved in our faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's awesome.
Right there. We were sitting right behind. I just had to give God praise. I know
Amen.
People were praising, but I didn't care. We were moving on.
Praise God. Man, I'm glad I have God's peace ruling my heart. I'd have jumped out of my skin a moment ago. You just yelled out.
He answered.
That's awesome.
Amen.
Well, God help you find things that are lost. And that's all spiritual discernment. It's not always in the spiritual matter. I like what C.H. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the preacher, said about discernment. He said, discernment is not just knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right. That's real discernment.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's not a clear, you can't tell. Mm-hmm. This seems right. Maybe it is right, but there's a perfect right that God has. So the Holy Spirit will help us discern things and determine what is the will of God for us. Should we buy this car? Should we not buy this car? Should we buy this house? Should we not buy this house? What church should I belong to? God will help you. And you need spiritual discernment in that.
Hallelujah.
That's very, very important. I picked on Quentin, my friend, the other day, Sunday, and I felt bad about it afterwards. At the altar time, I said to him, I said, talking about praying in tongues, I said, Quentin, you ought to be the first person up here to... Since you've been having, told me yesterday you had trouble with this, you ought to be the first one up here. Well, we have a unique relationship. I can rub him the wrong way, he can rub me the wrong way, and we're still friends, you know. But my wife got on to me, and she said, you shouldn't have said that in front of everybody. And I said, well, you're probably right. So I texted him to ask him to forgive me. That's pretty cheap, isn't it? So he already forgave me, but, you know, I didn't mean to embarrass you or anything like that. He said it didn't embarrass him a bit. He said, I'm glad to be an example.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. When you know people well enough, you know their spirit they're operating in. Now, certain people will get really offended and ticked off, and I do have a gift of aggravation. I know how to do that pretty well. Paul says, amen. And so, but you got to be careful with people and discerning. There are times, there's a time to joke around, a time not to joke around. And sometimes my time is not always right, but God's time is right. So it's important to you discern the person you're talking to. Discern, are they in a mood, or are they capable of handling some, you know, joking around, or, you know, sometimes people are not able to do that. So you have to be discerning when to joke around, when not to joke around, and ask me how I know that. So discern the ways of God and the people of God. Here's the number one rule of discernment. I love this. I heard this years ago from Bob Mumford, and I've used it ever since. I've said this many times, so you've heard it over and over if you've been here. Number one rule of discernment. Everybody say it out loud. Yep, that's Southern talk. Yep, that's Southern talk. You just can't put your hand, you know, your finger on it. I don't know what it is, but just something's not right. You need to listen to that. Because you may not have the knowledge up here to figure that out, and the Holy Spirit knows that. He's trying to warn you in your spirit by giving you an uneasiness. Don't proceed. Don't continue. Stop. Something ain't right here. And that's all you have. But that's a way you're discerning. Your spirit, God is trying to warn you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they are of God. Because there are many false prophets who have gone out into the world." I can't tell you how many different people since the beginning of Grace Tabernacle, because, you know, once you become a charismatic church, from a traditional church to a charismatic church, man, the brighter the light, the greater the bugs. You know what I mean? I mean, it's true. It's true that you attract all kinds of people, and good and bad, and some just confused. And so you'll get all kinds of things that we never had that kind of trouble in the traditional church. So that was kind of good in that way, because you automatically limit it. You don't believe in prophets. You don't believe in tongues. You don't believe in this. Man, it cuts a lot of stuff out. But when you open the door and everything comes in, you have to start discerning who's of God, what's of God, what's not of God. And I've had people come in and tell me they were prophets, and I've had people come in and tell me they were this and this, and some were. But usually, not always, usually people's giftings will show up over a period of time. They don't have to come in and tell you. I usually am a little cautious of somebody. I'm just telling you folks here, I'm a little cautious. People come in and tell me, "I'm an apostle, I'm a this, and I'm a that." Well, okay, well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll watch. We'll watch and see. And so then I keep my eye on them, because I kind of, not always, sometimes people are trying to make a name for themselves or trying to get a spot in the church. We've had people come that were not of God come into this church and try to get a spot or try to get a foothold in, you know, recognition or whatever. I'm not saying they were all of the devil. Some of them were just mentally confused. And yet they come in, and you have to be discerning. And if you get angry at them, that's just exactly what the devil wants you to do. Yeah. You need to get angry at the devil. Amen. And that takes a maturity that I haven't always operated in. And I've got angry at a person instead of getting angry at the devil. And the devil just was over behind the scenes going, "It worked." And then you have to mend the fence between the person who may be a real brother or sister in the Lord, but just maybe confused or maybe a little bit off. People can be a little bit off in church. You ever notice that? Preacher can be a little bit off too. I deserve that one, brother. But the best way to grow in spiritual discernment, if anybody wants to know, how can I grow in spiritual discernment? I want to tell you the best way to grow in spiritual discernment is to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. Here's the text, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. The Word of God is alive, hallelujah, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. You know, you can't, even with a microscope, go in and see where's the soul end and where's the spirit. Where's the joint and the marrow begin? They can't actually tell you exactly where. But the Word of God is so discerning that it can take you right to the spot. Able to discern, everybody say discern, the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. I believe I've had God tell me sometimes the intents of someone's heart. Maybe they said something, they were harsh or they were mean or they said something that was hurtful. And then once I pray about it, the Spirit of the Lord would tell me that that was not the intent of their heart. That's just the way it came across. You need to forgive them. And see, I didn't know the intent of their heart, but God knew the intent of their heart. And so it was easy to forgive then. Once I knew that, that little bit of discernment really helped me not to hold on to a grudge or be offended or be hurt. They didn't really mean it. That's just only what they didn't know how to communicate. That's just the way they came across. Let it go. So the God discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. There is no creature that is not revealed in His sight, for all things are bare and exposed to the eyes of Him of whom we have to give account. We only see a part. I only see a part of you. You only see a part of me. God sees the whole thing. He's got all the facts. Everything. So the best way to grow in spiritual discernment is to really grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. You've got to get knowledge. You've got to grow in knowledge of the Word. That's why the Bible says it's alive. It's alive. It's a living book. So that when you read it, and you read it again, next time you get something out of it you didn't get the first time. Amen. So you read it over and over and over and over again. And, you know, many times Christians, new Christians especially, someone gets born again, one of the first books they want to tackle is the book of Revelation. They're not ready for it. Amen. So they get all confused. They say, no. That's why God put the book of Revelation at the end. You read through this first because you got to learn about symbolism. You got to learn about different things, colors, types, lights, and things like that before you dare go into that. You've got to grow in spiritual discernment. And so you never tell a new Christian, just read the book of Revelation. No, that's not a good place to start for you. You start at the very beginning of the New Testament, you know. So God wants us to grow in knowledge. How do you grow in discernment? Number one, you ask God for wisdom by faith. James 1:5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all people. And he doesn't upbraid you for asking. But let him ask in faith. For the man who doesn't ask in faith is a double-minded man. He's unstable in all of his ways. In other words, if you ask God for wisdom, you believe God is giving it to you. Thank you, God. I've asked you for wisdom about this. Now I wait upon you. But I trust you. You have given me wisdom. I've been meditating on Proverbs 3 lately. I feel like the Lord just told me just to stay there, camp there, meditate there, chew on these different things. And as you meditate, you go over and over and over, a couple verses a day or one a day. It's like you get nutrients out of it you would not get if you just gobbled it all down. And I'm at Proverbs 3:13 today and yesterday. And it says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gets understanding. So I asked the Lord, I said, what's the difference between finding and getting? You find wisdom. That you get understanding. To find something, you got to be looking for it.
Amen.
You ask God for wisdom, you're searching for wisdom.
Amen.
God says you'll be happy when you find wisdom. And get understanding. But notice what comes first. And I shared this with you Sunday. Wisdom comes first. What is wisdom? 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 30 says, Jesus is the wisdom of God. The Word of God is the wisdom of God. But we read the Word of God, but we don't understand it.
Amen.
That's right. Understanding comes later. First you get wisdom. This is God's way. This is God's thought about the matter. This is how God works in this matter. Okay, that doesn't make any sense to me. No, I understand. But that's the wisdom of God. Accept it. Believe it. Act on it. Understanding always is catching up to the wisdom of God. How many times have you read the Bible through or read a section of Scripture, and then one day you read it again, and then you understand it. You didn't understand it the first six times you read it. The understanding is always catching up. God gives us a peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand how I can have peace at a time like this. And understanding is always catching up. So I love what Bill Johnson said. One of my favorite quotes of his is, obey first, understand why later. Because a lot of people say they won't do what God tells them to do until they understand. No, just obey. Understanding's always trying to catch up. It takes maturity to get understanding. So when God gives you wisdom, He's giving that to you irregardless of your spiritual level of maturity. You may not be mature enough, but He's giving it to you because you asked for wisdom. He's giving you His Word. Here it is. Here's wisdom. I don't understand it. I know. As you mature, you'll get understanding. How many of you would say there are things in your life you just don't understand till you have a little bit of years of experience under your belt? How many of you married people would say you don't understand marriage till you get a few years under your belt? You talk to a newlywed couple and they are all happy and glad and everything, and you know what's coming. And you know, I hope I can come back 10 years now and still see that smile on your face. But it takes some maturity and some experience. Another way you grow in discernment is recognize there's a difference between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. They're two different things. They're not on the same level. James 3 says the wisdom not from above is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there's envying and strife and there's confusion and every evil work, but the wisdom from above is first, say it with me, pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's the peace of God, or that's the wisdom of God. It'll always manifest that fruit. And now how we grow in discernment? Number three, we grow in discernment as we mature. We need to mature in the spirit. We got to grow spiritually. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians Hebrews 5, everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. But strong meat, solid food, belongs to those who are mature, to those who through practice have powers of discernment that are trained to distinguish between good and evil. One of the best things we got going on in our church right now, I'm thrilled about, is Karis Bible study. Richard does, Richard and Brenda, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, Sunday morning, like a Bible, Sunday school class. And I'm just thrilled. I go in there on tomorrow. I'm bringing my mom in there, and because I say, boy, you need to be here. And I just feed. It's rich. It's not milk. It's meat. And it's good for me to go have a place where I just go in and feed. And you grow spiritually when you don't need the milk of the Word. Some people need the milk of the Word because they're new Christians. But if you've been a Christian for 40 years, you should not need the milk of the Word. You should need the meat.
Amen.
There's milk and meat, and the Bible says strong meat. Yes, three different types of spiritual food. Strong meat. So we need this strong meat of the Word given to us. And on Sunday morning, it's not always easy to do that. Sometimes we do it anyway, but it's because people are such different levels.
Amen.
But you get in a class like that, people come out to a class, they're hungry.
Amen.
They're searching. They don't have to be there. They want to be there. And it's not a church service, and they come to feed, and that means, man, those people are growing. And I'm thrilled when I see, I don't know how many people you have in that class, Richard, 15, 20 people. Sometimes it varies, I know, but man, I am so thrilled.
Amen.
The Zabatas are sitting back on the back there. You know, they're new Christians. Both of them are new Christians. Did you know that? Look back and smile at them. They're new Christians. But man, I see them. I was telling your wife the other day. I said, I see you both on the highway. You're accelerating. You're accelerating rapidly because you have a hunger. Do you want to grow in the Lord? And you went over to the Andrew Womack conference in Orlando, and those things just help you accelerate. When you have the opportunity to be under anointed preaching and teaching of the Word, boy, you ought to take advantage of that.
Amen.
Take advantage of it. And you have an opportunity to go to these wonderful conferences, take advantage of that. There's a ministers' conference that Richard told me about, and we went together last year in Colorado at Karis. And man, I tell you, that was a rich, rich week for me. I'm still feeding on the things that I learned there. It was just so good. I can go to a conference and accelerate more in a few days at a conference than I can if I was in a seminary class. And it's just rich. So I encourage you to go. And the ministers' conference, I don't know if it's just open to ministers or not. Richard, do you know? Pretty much. So you can't go unless I ordain you, and I'll give you a post-it note saying you're ordained, okay? But any type of conference like that, you need to get involved in. You can accelerate, and it'll help your spiritual life grow. Quickly, I'm going to finish up here. Peter, the Apostle Peter, illustrated a spiritual discernment, the time that in the church in the book of Acts, and you may remember people by the name of Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, came into the church, and they gave some money to the church. They sold some property, and they gave this big money to the church, and they were wanting recognition. So they gave this money to the apostles. Oh, we've sold this, and we gave this such and such amount, you know. And Peter had the spiritual gift of discernment. And the Spirit of God told him, that's not true. They're not being honest. And there's no reason for them to lie, but the church was just getting started and was so pure, God wanted to protect the church. And so Peter spoke up with the spiritual gift of discernment, and he said in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to deceive the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds of the land? Was it not under your authority? You didn't lie to men, but you lied to God. And he dropped dead at the moment. And not long after that, his wife came in, and she was going to pretend the same thing, and she dropped dead. Boy, if something like that happened today, look what it did. The spiritual discernment gift got everybody's attention. They went, wow, how could this man have known this? It shook the church up. And look what happened in Acts chapter 5. Great fear came upon the entire church and all who heard these things. No one else dared join them. The people respected him. That's one thing the world doesn't do much of anymore. They don't respect the church. They don't see that we have anything any different than they do. They think we're a bunch of phonies. We need the gift of discernment. So they look at us and say, wow, how did you know that? If you've ever operated in a word of knowledge, you know, God gives you a piece of knowledge about someone. It isn't so that you can look real spiritual. It's so that you can give them a wake-up call. And tell them something like Jesus did at the woman at the well in John chapter 4. So anyway, people should see this and they should respect us when they see this spiritual discernment operating in our lives. And we ought to even be able to prosper financially when there's a famine. And because we have spiritual discernment, God will tell us if we ask him, God, how do we do this? What do we do about that? How do we prosper even though the economy is bad? How do we prosper? Show us how to do that. And I believe God's anxious to do that. I think he wants his church to shine. Amen. Let's stand up. Just lift your hands and just thank God for the teaching you received tonight. There'll be something that the Holy Spirit will bring back to your memory this week that you can apply. God, we thank you for the word. Whenever the word goes out, it's anointed by you. It will not return void. You'll trigger things in our life where we need to make correction or we need to make adjustments. Or things of action we need to take. So we thank you. And we pray together right now for Sunday service or coming up that the God you put a high hedge of, you'd already have a high hedge of protection around us, but Lord, we pray for a spiritual alertness, a high level of alertness spiritually, especially when we're going to expose some of the works of darkness. So we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Bring us back ready. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Love some people before you go home tonight. Amen. Thanks for being here.